Shall we turn, please, first of all, to the Gospel of John, chapter 19, starting at verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. As they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. Now back into the Old Testament, please, to the book of Zechariah and chapter 12 and verse 10. The Lord God is speaking, And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And we know that the Lord will bless his word, for he has promised it will not return to him void. Well, as I said, I've been asked to give my testimony, to tell you how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal saviour. Now, unlike a lot of people here, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I was brought up as a Roman Catholic. Now, a lot of people say, well, that is a Christian home, but you see, God is not interested in religious labels. We might call ourselves Catholics, Protestants, Buddhists, atheists, or whatever. The question is, what think ye of Christ? Now, as I said, I was brought up as a Roman Catholic. My father was a sort of non-observant Church of England, my mother a Roman Catholic, and from about the age of five, I was taken to the Mass week by week. And I went to a Roman Catholic junior school. And for those years, I imbibed the teachings of that system. Basically, we were brought up to believe that Roman Catholicism was Christianity and everything else wasn't. And so I used to go to Mass week by week and used to go and confess my sins to the priest and all sorts of things which I didn't really like doing, but I had to do it. And then when I got to the age of 11, I passed my 11 plus. You can tell how old I am from that. And there was no Catholic grammar school in the area, so I had to go to the ordinary state school. And when I did this, it was the first time I'd come into contact with people from really another persuasion. And there were three teachers which had an influence on me. The RE teacher, the history teacher, and the biology teacher. I'll start off with the biology teacher. She did what she thought was right. She taught us so-called science and evolution, and I started imbibing the doctrines of evolutionism. And then was the RE teacher, who was the worst man of the lot, and he spent his entire time virtually demolishing the Bible and demolishing what belief I had in Christianity. And then we had the history teacher. And she really was the best, because at one point she took us through the Reformation and told us the reasons why it took place. Now, I don't think she was a believer, but she knew something of the history of Roman Catholicism and so-called Protestantism. And the combination of these three teachers on me was that I basically gave up everything I believed in terms of Roman Catholicism, and I became an atheist, and I rejected everything. And I continued on then, went off to university and studied biochemistry, which just entrenched me more and more in my atheism, evolutionism, and that's where I was. I left university in the early 1980s, high unemployment. Whatever I did, I couldn't find a job. Now, God was working. And through a set of complicated circumstances I can't really go into now, my father got interested in spiritual things as he had been in many years in the past and started going to the meetings at Uxbridge Gospel Hall. At that point, I thought he'd gone mad. Wasn't interested, but a brother from the assembly eventually invited me to tea at his house, onto the gospel meeting afterwards. I wasn't interested. He visited my father at home and I was there, and so out of curiosity I accepted his invitation and went. And I sat in a gospel meeting like this. For the first time in my life I heard the gospel of the Bible, and I don't really remember anything of what the preacher said. But the thing that struck me more than anything was his absolute sincerity and absolute conviction in what he was saying. He believed implicitly the message he gave. Not like the clergyman who was just regurgitating the same message he'd probably given the same time the last year. And this was something that was real, at least to the preacher. And so, I got a bit interested. And I started going to the gospel meeting week after week after week. And I began to understand something of what the gospel message was about. I used to go to this brother, Brother Dennis Benson, for tea every week. And eventually in our conversation, the subject of the age of the earth came up. Of course, I was an evolutionist, believed in millions of years. And I believed that I'd evolved from a lump of primeval slime. Of course, he was a creationist, believed in a young earth. I thought, this is nonsense, but he gave me a couple of books to read, and I went away, and I read those books. Now, I came to those books convinced they were wrong, but I had been trained as a scientist, and as I read them, I realised that I was wrong, and I realised that the scientific facts stack up in favour of a young earth and therefore in favour of a creator. And as a result of that, I became a creationist. As a result of a bit more reading and studying, I became a biblical creationist. I believe that the Bible was an accurate record, that Adam and Eve were real people. But that didn't make me a Christian. You can believe in God, you can believe in creation, you can believe to an extent the Bible and still not be saved and go to hell. And that's the situation I was in. And I sat under the sound of the gospel for 9 long months, week after week. And as I heard the gospel week by week, I then began to understand what it was about. I realized the teaching of the Bible was that creation was perfect. Through the sin of Adam, we were all made sinners. And that all, therefore, under the sentence of death because of sin, eternal death, eternal separation from God in hell, and ultimately the lake of fire. And then, as the weeks passed, the Holy Spirit started convicting me. I remember one meeting when our late brother Jack Hunter was preaching. He was preaching on the rapture. And he was saying there'll be people saying, "Lord, Lord," and it will be too late. "Lord, Lord, it's you." And I thought, yes, that's me. That would be me if the Lord came tonight. The conviction came. And after a few weeks it went. And that's how it was. I sit under the sound of the gospel. I knew I needed to be saved, but I didn't get saved. Probably there are many people here like that as well. And I read through the Bible twice before I was saved, right through. And then one evening, I was sitting down and I was reading John's Gospel. Started at the beginning. I read through chapter after chapter. And then the Spirit of God really began to convict me. Came to chapter 8, went past John 3:16, read that, carried on, got to chapter 8, and the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He says, "If ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." I knew what the Lord was saying. I knew he was saying, if you believe not in my deity, that I am God, as well as man, as the Saviour, you will die in your sins. And I thought, yes, I don't believe the message of the gospel. I know I'm a sinner, but I don't believe. At that point, the conviction got deeper. I carried on reading. And I read the account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where there he died upon the cross, he gave his life, his blood was shed that I could be saved. And I read it through, verse by verse. I read there the verses we read, where the Lord died, he was taken down. And I read these words, the scriptures being fulfilled. You see, the scriptures were being fulfilled. Scripture after scripture speaking of his coming. They were fulfilled to the letter. And then it says, again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. I read that. I saw the reference in the margin. I turned back to the reference in Zechariah that it's quoted from, or the reference it refers to. It's a quote, not exact. It's a reference. And here in chapter 12, the Lord God, Jehovah himself, is speaking. He says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And as I read that, it all came together. And I realized then that the man who died upon Calvary's cross was the eternal Creator himself. As I read that, I realized that the message was true. And I exercised repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and came into the blessings of eternal salvation. You know, it literally felt like walking on air. I looked across, saw the clock, 10:30, Saturday the 19th of June, 1982. That's when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. Next day, the brother who'd invited us to tea regularly phoned, invited us again. I picked up the phone and knew who it was. He said, "Hello, Dennis." He said, "Oh, you knew it was me?" I said, "Yes, I've something to tell you." I told him I'd been saved. He said, "You know, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I didn't realise you were so close. Maybe there's someone very close here tonight." Just mention one little thing I read a few years ago. Just sets the importance of listening to what's said. There was a man, a Christian, and he was going on an airport on a journey. He saw the stewardess, and she was breaking up some ice with a glass. He thought, "This is a bit dangerous." And he said, "Isn't that a bit dangerous what you're doing?" And she said, "Yes." And she was quite touched that he was so concerned about her. And he gave her a tract. And she said, "You know, several people have given me things like this in the last few weeks. What does God want from me?" And he gave her a word in the gospel. Didn't think any more. That day was the 10th of September, 2001. And the next day, that lady was on the first plane that terrorists crashed into the World Trade Center. You know, salvation is real. And it's an urgent matter. We know not what a day may bring forth. I've told you how I was saved. I trust that the Lord will bless it. I don't know what would have happened the next day if I hadn't been saved. Perhaps I'd have had another opportunity, but I might not. It's important to listen to what God says. As a hymn says, it could be the last time you ever hear the call. Behold, now is a day of salvation. May God bless his word.